Good morning. It's 1027 1035 WICY, your feel good favorites from the 80s and more. John Kazar. I'm joined in this special conversation we're having this morning right around 8:20 with Jerry Griffin, the superintendent of Malone Central School District. And Jerry, we recently learned earlier this week that they're going to be going all virtual for the remainder of the semester slash this part of the school year into 2021. And we'll talk about the details of what the plans are for the future. But right now, going virtual seemed to be the best idea. It was a recommendation from the health department. It wasn't like you had to, right?
That's correct, John. First, thanks for having me on. Mm-hmm. And that is correct. It was it was not a mandate. It was not a directive from the Department of Health. It was a conversation that the superintendents in our region we were having with the Department of Health, and we were trying to think of ways to combat community spread. And this was a recommendation for them. From them for us to consider going remote for a period of time, and we batted around a number of different time frames and date ranges, and we settled in on looking at Thanksgiving to Christmas break from now till Thanksgiving, and then again from Thanksgiving to Christmas.
I think it's a safe bet. I understand it now. I know. Are we talking about maybe a scare here as to why they recommended it? Because we did see the spike in cases. I mean, it's a large percentage increase. The volume in total still doesn't seem like a lot of people, but I think it's the percent increase that really alarmed people, right?
That's correct. So we've been looking at the spikes in our region, 1 to 2 weeks after any type of holiday. So if you think about Labor Day, Columbus Day, and then this recent one, which has impacted us here at the school level, it was right after Halloween. We've noticed now it's impacting schools. We've had a positive case. We've had some presumed positives, and ended up with 20-some people, staff members, in quarantine because of it. And that's pretty hard to run a school when you've got that high number of people out on quarantine.
Of staff. Yeah. No, wow. Okay, there's only so many, that you can't keep dropping like flies here, But what's the response so far? I mean, it has been the better part of a few days, 4 days. What's the response so far as going full virtual?
I think deep down people understand it, but I understand there's a lot of people that are upset about it for a number of reasons.
Mm-hmm.
I think people are just getting COVID fatigue and discouraged in our community. Which,
overall, right.
Yeah, overall, which frankly might actually be leading to the spike. People are letting their guard down a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
People have been supportive pretty much, but again, they're disappointed for their kids. The kids were really enjoying being back in the buildings. And I think deep down they understand that this is the direction we needed to go in with the facts that we were facing.
We've been here, Jerry, right, in the spring. I mean, but it was different then because you weren't really ready to get all the plans in place like you did over the summer. So how much more ready are you now to do the full virtual, and the differences now that we can maybe tune up some things that you weren't able to before?
Yeah, so we started the school year off for the first 2 weeks of school in a virtual format. So it'll be pretty much as it was then those first 2 weeks. It won't be anything like it was back in the spring. So students know that they should be logging on to their Chromebooks at their scheduled class time. If they were scheduled to come in person on a Thursday, then if they have geometry at 9:45, well, at 9:45, they should be logging in, and their teacher's going to be there ready to deliver instruction. Same thing at the elementary level. If there's a ELA or a math class or a science or social studies at a certain time, then they should expect that instruction to be happening at that time.
I got you here. So what we're talking about is, it's going to be different than a classroom environment no matter what, in a lot of little ways we don't have to get into, but ultimately they're still getting the same type of education. They're absorbing the knowledge per class that they need to.
They're getting an education, and we're going to do it as best as we can. And but don't get me wrong, it is not the same as it was pre-COVID, but it'll be better than what we did. We were able to offer from a technology standpoint, from a pedagogy standpoint, than we were able to do in the spring. But we certainly still believe that in-person instruction is the best way to go. But in terms of their class time and quote unquote attending classes, it should look pretty similar. They just won't be sitting in front of the teacher.
Is that word you said, pedagogy? What's that?
Well, it's just, you know, your method and your style of teaching and the manner in which you deliver that curriculum and instruction.
Gotcha. Just was unfamiliar. So one more last thing to touch on as we move forward. You know, you're not going to know when or if you're going to be starting up the next semester virtual, or is that something that's going to be discussed over holiday breaks?
Well, it's two things. I'm glad you asked that. So two things. Number one, if we see, let's say a miracle happens and we see that numbers drastically improve in our region in the next 2 weeks, we're going to reconvene right after Thanksgiving break and say, you know, is there a possibility we could actually come back before January 4th? We don't have any firm numbers or metrics in mind that we're going to be looking for. I can't answer that right now. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying that we're going to look at it. And then we have targeted a couple of dates in December, and we're going to come back together as a group to make a firm decision about that January 4th date. I'm pretty firm on it right now, but we'll see where we stand in a month.
Yeah, let's just say we're still level. Let's say there's 40-some-odd cases early January in Franklin County. What do you think happens at that point? Just conjecture.
Yeah, well, I think if we're at that point, we're probably at the same point we are right now then. I'm not sure there'd be any other decision to make.
We want to see drop-offs, at least to a noticeable standpoint, right? Before we
start. I want to see drop-offs, and I want to see, you know, the quarantine issues is what really hurt us, particularly at the middle school. You know, just there alone, we had close to 20 staff members that were on quarantine at any given time in the last few days, and it was difficult for us to keep the doors open.
You have to go through these protocols, so it's just as they might as well be having it as far as their absence and them not being there, right? I mean, it's tough.
They had been in contact with a positive, correct? Yeah. So if you're in contact with a positive, then you are put in quarantine, which that's why we were on remote instruction 100% at the middle school for the past few days before we pulled the plug on in person for the rest of the district.
And in the past week, this all happened very quickly. Like, they recommended it the day before that you decided to do this.
But we had a meeting on Monday.
Yep.
And had a meeting with the Department of Health Monday morning, and then the group of superintendents met two more times that day, you know, just to make sure that we're all on the same page and we all had the same message and the time frame to announce and just wrap our heads around when are we going to come back together to revisit this issue.
Yep.
So it was a joint discussion. Ultimately, it's the school district's decision to do this, and I stand by it. And you know, John, I've said before that people might think that this is an overreaction, and you know they could be upset with this decision.
Sure.
But I don't know. Years down the road, I look back, and if you want to say that to me, then fine, I'll take that criticism. But, you know, in my heart of hearts, I feel like this was the right decision, and we may have even possibly saved a life or two by doing this, and I can live with myself for that.
Yeah. Well, I just feel, and one last little tail end thing here for the kids, you know, with the sports seasons and seniors and stuff like that, that's what's real tough, right?
Well, here's the good thing about that, John, is we were able to get our fall sports season in. There was, I think, maybe one game that we had to cancel at each level, mm-hmm. which wasn't a big deal for this week, but we have not been given clearance to start winter sports yet. We've actually received some, you know, informal information that it looks like the winter sports season may not actually even start until after Christmas holidays. So that could actually line right up perfectly for us anyway.
This is good news for me because I wasn't sure. And I was actually speaking with a high schooler. I go to the Malone YMCA. I'm not going to name any names, but I know he's in high school right now. I know he likes to play ball. And I was asking him about the season, and he said, yeah, we're starting it up. Just got practice soon. And then that night they did this. So I was like, oh, I feel for him. But to know there's still light possibly here and a season that is possible, that's awesome.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And I want, particularly our seniors, I want them to have as much of an experience as they can. So I'm hoping the governor puts that guidance out pretty quickly, and then Section 10 would have to take some action on creating a schedule and some parameters for both players, spectators, and coaches And, you know, I'm hoping we could still get a season in after the holidays.
I'm hoping too, man. And I'll be honest, we'll be tracking the numbers just as closely as you guys are because it affects everyone around here in the community. So thanks again, Jerry. We do appreciate you. Anything else you want to add?
No, just here at the district, we'll continue with our food service delivery twice a week to families. They can always request that service on our website at maloneschools.org. And we'll also be delivering some instructional materials from time to time based on parent and student request individually at the buildings.
All right. Keeping a lot of things going still here with adjustments being made throughout. And we thank you again for your time. Okay, Jerry?
Thank you, John.
All right. 1027, 1035, WICY, your feel-good favorites from the 80s and more, a special edition of Inside the Community with Jerry Griffin, who is the superintendent of Malone Central School District.